ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from the 10th canto, chapter 80, entitled Sudama Visits Lord Krishna, text number 1. Sri Raja Uvacha Malamanyani Chayanu Mukadasya Mahatmanaha Pranyamiya Adavidyasya Shotumi Chani Iprabho Sri Rajo Vacha Bhagavanyani Chanyani Mukandasya Mahatmanaha Niryani Atmato Viryasya Shotumi Chani Ami Prabho. Sri Raja Uvacha. The king Parikshit said, Bhagavan, my lord, Sukadev Goswami, Jnani, which, Cha, Anjani, Mukundasya, of Lord Krishna, Mahamanaha, the Supreme Soul, Viryani, hilarious deeds, Ananta, unlimited, Viryasya, whose valor, Shrotum, to hear, Ichami, I wish, Hi Prabho, O Master. Translation. King Parikshit said, my Lord, O Master, I wish to hear about other various deeds performed by the Supreme Personality Godhead Mukunda, whose valor is unlimited. So, Omar Yanat Ramdasha, Janajana Slakaya, Chakshu Mitam Jina, Tasmei Shri Guru Venamaha. Shri Chaitanya Namanovi Stam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dante Swapanantika Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jigapade Gopisha Gopikanta Radha Kanta Nosade Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vindana Ishwari Vishabana Sute Devi Priyamani Hivipriye Pancha Kopya Trubhyas Cha Kriya Sindhu Evicha Annam Padnevo Vaishnevyo Namo Maha Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, is everybody able to hear properly? The sound is okay? This chapter is called Sudama Visits Lord Krishna. Sudama Brahman also appears in Chaitanya Lila as Sukambar Brahmachari. So Sudama Brahma is the eternal Nitya Siddha, eternal associate of the Lord. He always comes from the same pastime. These pastimes of the Lord are continually going on in one universe after another. It's like the sun is rising and setting. The sun is always there, but it's not always visible in one place. Sometimes it's nighttime one place, it's daytime in another place. So like that, Lord Krishna is having his Nitya Lila all over in the material world. And his eternal associates, they also join him in these pastimes. So Sudama Brahman was a very poor brahmana. But he was also detached from material enjoyment. So, Sudama Brahman and Lord Krishna, they both went to the school of Sandapani Muni in Ujjain. They were classmates. So the Vedic system, one is goes to the school, Gurukul, school of the spiritual master, and stays brahmachari from the age of 5 to around 25. Then one has a choice if one is not feeling comfortable in brahmachari life, feel some agitation, then he can get married and live a Krishna conscious household life. So Sudama Brahman, he did that. He married after going to school with Lord Krishna. But he was not an ordinary Brahman. He was really self-realized soul. Therefore, he was detached from any kind of worldly sense enjoyment. So he decided he did not endeavor for his livelihood. He accepted whatever came on its own accord. So because he was did that, he was not getting sufficient food. He was and he was not able to dress himself very nicely. But this may be seen by the materialists, may think that this is not very good. It's like Kulabhacha Sridhar. He was detached and always chanting the holy name. The Mahaprabhu came to him and said, "Sridhar, your neighbors are worshipping Durga. They have nice clothes, they have nice food, they're doing so nicely. And you just sit here and chant, and you don't have nice clothes, and you don't eat nicely. And what, you know, why is this? You know, aren't you unhappy about this?" And Sridhar said, "No, no. I have clothes, they may be a little wrong size or something, and I get what I need to eat, I'm not starving." So, in this way, the devotee is not interested in material opulence and material wealth, because these things simply cause one to be entangled in the material world, to remain in the cycle of repeated birth and death. One sage came to King Dasarath, said to him, "My dear king, how is your progress in conquering over repeated birth and death?" This is the question we should ask, everyone should ask of ourselves and all the other devotees. Are we making progress in getting free from the cycle of repeated birth and death? This is the required, this is what is wanted. This is the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement, to stop the cycle of repeated birth and death. Because we know that when we take birth in this world, we live where we stay for some time, and the body dwindles, finally we have to die, leave this body. But that's not the end of life. End of our life, but then we take another body and begin the whole cycle again, coming and going. So this means in the material world, this repeated birth and death, repeated suffering, misery, according to one's fruitive activities, one enjoys or suffers repeatedly, birth after birth. If one can stop this and go back to Godhead, then that is the perfection of life. So Sudama Brahman's wife, she was chaste and faithful to her husband, and the duty of the wife is to serve the husband. The modern civilization, the wife and doesn't know how to serve the husband. His wife never supposed to call her husband by his first name, and she's supposed to serve him. When the husband takes prasadam, the wife serves him the prasadam, and when he's finished, she takes her prasadam, or whatever's left over. But I don't think that system is still existing in modern society. But maybe there's some cultured ladies who come from Indian families that still practice that with serving the husband first and then taking prasadam. And generally the husband and wife eat together. In the early days, even the wife would never even walk with the husband. They would walk behind the husband. It's quite visible. But nowadays, they walk with the husband in front of them. They stop. So Vedic culture has mainly been mostly lost. And due to the government wanting to be economic development, wanting to be like Western countries, everybody polluted by Western influence. Sadama's wife, so Sadama Brahma had a chaste and faithful wife, she used to serve her husband, but they weren't getting enough food. So they were very lean and thin. So Sadama's wife said to her husband, "You have a friend who's got the name Lord Krishna, and Krishna's the husband of the goddess of fortune. So I know if you go to Lord Krishna, he will certainly give you something to relieve your suffering." So he was like, he can be considered like a hand-picked husband. Also Krishna, 16,100 wives, they also thought Krishna was a hand-picked husband. But of course this is not the case. But she was nagging him a little bit. She wanted to do something about their impoverished condition, about their life of their suffering. So Sudama didn't want to go to see Lord Krishna to ask him for anything. They never asked for anything from the Lord. They only asked for service. So Sudama agreed, "I will go and meet Lord Krishna, but I'm not going to ask him for anything, because that's not my position. We're not like the Christians who pray to God, give us our daily bread. We're not worried about getting our daily bread or getting our food. Krishna supplying food to everyone, even to the elephants, to the ant, to all the living animals are getting their food without having to pray to God. So Sudama started off on his journey, and when he was going to see Krishna, he was a little afraid that they wouldn't let him in the palace because it was well fortified. He had to pass through three guards. But somehow Sudama Brahma got there, and he passed through the three guards without any problem, and he went directly to Lord Krishna. Before he left his house, though, he said, "I can't go to see Lord Krishna without bringing him something, because it's the etiquette. When someone goes to see a superior Vaishnava or his guru, or one visits the temple, the deities, one should always bring some offering. Patram Pushpam Palotayam Yomai Bhaktya Priyatati." Krishna says, "Well, if it's me a little leaf, flower, water, fruit, I will accept, and if it's offered with love and devotion." So Siddhartha Bhava asks his wife to get something to offer to Krishna. So they didn't have anything in the house, so she begged four handfuls of chip rice. This chip rice, not very palatable foodstuff. Anyway, she tied it in a cloth and he put it in his cheddar and brought it to the Lord. So when Lord Krishna finally reached, he went to this palace of Rukmini. Krishna had 16,108 wives. They all lived in separate palaces. But Rukmini was the foremost and principal wife. So Sudama went to the palace of Rukmini, and when Lord Krishna saw his friend Sudama coming, he immediately stood up to greet him. Then he had Sudama seated on his bedstead, and he washed his feet. This is the system. When a great personality comes to your home, the washing of the feet is there. And then when the family members take that water and sprinkle it on their heads for purification, or drink it. And one time, Lord Chaitanya had a headache, or he had a fever, and he couldn't find any cure. So he told them, his disciples, his devotees, to wash the feet of a brahmana and bring that to him. So he washed the feet of brahmana, he drank that water, and his fever was cured. So the water that washes the feet of the pure devotee, the dust from the pure from the feet of the pure devotee, and the remnants of foodstuff, the pure devotee, these three substances are very valuable. So Lord Krishna was playing the role of an ideal householder. So therefore, when his friend came, he washed his feet. And the Rukmini Devi, she picked up a chama fan. She was fanning Sudama Brahman. And the other residents of the palace, they were very surprised to see this, because he is very poorly dressed, and it says that he was so thin, his veins were sticking out. So they were surprised that Lord Krishna would honor this kind of person. But because he was a pure brahmana, he was a Vaishnava brahmana. There are many kinds of brahmana. There are many brahmanas, so-called brahmanas. But in this age, kalo suju sambhava, there are no qualified brahmanas. Therefore, these five things are forbidden in this age. Horse sacrifice or cow sacrifice, the accepting of sannyas, the begetting of a child in a brother's womb, and offering flesh to the forefathers. These are forbidden activities. Because sacrifice was one of the Yuga Dharmas in previous ages. But in this age, there are no qualified brahmanas to chant the mantras, to perform sacrifice. So the but a brahmana is one who understands a brahman whose self has realized the difference between his body and the soul. And a true Vaishnava Brahman, he understands it's Krishna's, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna's true Bhagavan Swayam. So Sudama Brahman had understood this, so Krishna was honoring him as a worshipable brahmana. Then Krishna and Sudama Brahman began to speak about their childhood pastimes. That they went to this school together, Sudama Brahman and Krishna went to the school of Sandapani Muni. And one time, the wife of the spiritual master, she asked the Sudama and Krishna to go to the forest and bring some firewood for cooking. So Sudama and Krishna were obedient students, went to the forest to collect firewood. But while they were in the forest, a storm appeared. It was the winter time, it was out of season. It was more than just a storm, it was a devastation. And the ground became flooded. They couldn't tell the high land from the low land. And Sudama and Krishna couldn't find a way back to the ashram. They got lost. And they had to spend the whole night suffering and living the whole night in the forest. And then in the morning, when the sun came up, the guru was informed of this matter. They went to search out Krishna and Sudama. And when the guru met Krishna and Sudama, he was very pleased with them. Said, this is very, you two boys are very nice disciples. And says to the Guru Dakshin, that one should offer everything to the spiritual master. But formerly the brahmachari would live in the house of the spiritual master, and he would go to beg alms daily. And whatever he brought back, he would give to the spiritual master. Then the spiritual master would call him and he would take his prasadam. But if the spiritual master didn't call him, then he had to fast. This is the system, but we don't follow that nowadays. But how they were able to follow that years ago. So Sudama and Krishna, they fulfilled the desire of the spiritual master. He was very pleased with them. So after this, Sudama stayed in the palace. He took some prasadam. He ate nicely. Stayed overnight. Then he left the home of Krishna. He started to come back, went back to his village. And on the way back to his village, he was thinking that Lord Krishna, he did not give me anything, but I didn't ask for anything. He didn't give me anything, but that doesn't matter. I'm satisfied. I just got the darshan of the Lord. He was happy with that. And then when he arrived at his village, and his wife came to greet him. He had been transformed into a palatial house and seemed to have the opulence of the king of heaven, King Indra. So Sudama Brahman was very surprised to see this. His wife had changed overnight. She is now nicely dressed and looking very beautiful. And the palace was there and all the opulences were there, everything was there that befitting the King of Heaven. So Sudama Brahman also was transformed into a respectable householder, but the main point of the story is that Sudama didn't misuse this opulence. As long as someone is giving opulence, then he tendency is to forget Krishna. If a neophyte boy is giving a lot of opulence, he may not remember Krishna. He may go off in the material world and try to enjoy it. But since Dhamma was a pure Vaishnava, even in surrounded by so much opulence, he was not affected. He still maintained his Krishna consciousness. So this is a very nice story. And at the end of this story, it says, anyone who hears this account of the Supreme Lord's kindness to the Brahmanas will come to develop love for the Lord and thus become free from the bondage of material work. Purport. In the introduction to this chapter, Krishna, the Supreme Personality Godhead, that describes his pastime as Divine Grace, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality Godhead, the Super Soul of all living beings, knows very well everyone's heart. He's especially inclined to the Brahman devotees. Lord Krishna is also Brahmanya Devaya, Deva, which means he's worshipped by the Brahmins. Therefore, it's understood that a devotee who is fully surrendered unto the Supreme Personality Godhead has already acquired the position of a Brahmana. Without becoming a Brahmana, one cannot approach the Supreme Brahman, Lord Krishna. Krishna is especially concerned with venting the distress of his devotees, as he is the only shelter of his devotees. So this is the position of a devotee fully surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadhara Prikshaja, Mamaikam Saranam Maja, Antam Sarvapada, Moksha-shami Mahasuchaha. See, once you abandon all varieties of religion, Dharma, Atakara, Moksha, and simply surrender unto me, I will protect one from all simply, I do not fear, Mahasuchaha. So this is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita, surrender. See, there are six symptoms of surrender. Accepting that which is favorable, rejecting that which is unfavorable, to know that Krishna is your protector, knowing Krishna is your maintainer, to always depend on the mercy of the Lord, feel oneself meek and humble. So this is required to develop our Krishna consciousness, especially to be humble. Suradipi suni chenatra api si suna manina mandina kirtana sadhari. One should think oneself lower than the straw on the street, more talent in the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. This is a very difficult position to attain. Rupa Goswami, Lord Caitanya told Rupa Goswami that there's many anarthas in the heart, innumerable anarthas. And he mentioned a few. One anartha is Batista, to have this false prestige, profit, adoration, distinction. So the anarthas have to be moved in the heart in order to feel oneself lower than the straw on the street. The heart has to be purified. The Uttama Adhikari, pure devotee, he thinks everyone is serving Krishna except for him. In one lecture, Prabhupada said, even Srimata Radharani is thinking the same thing. All the gopis and Sakhi and Manjari are serving Krishna except for herself. Of course, it's not true, but everybody feels that way anyhow. And it's not artificial, it cannot be artificially imposed, but has to actually take this humble position. With the Uttama Adhikari, he cannot preach because he sees everyone as serving Krishna. So the Uttama Adhikari has to come down to the Bhajam Adhikari platform in order to preach, because the Madhama Adhikari makes distinction. So one of the offenses of the holy name is to preach the faithless. So we have to discriminate. If someone's not ready to hear about Krishna consciousness, then we don't try to preach to them. We try to find those people who are innocent and want to hear, and those people we preach to. So this is the position of a devotee. Now in this chapter, text number 2, there's a nice purport here. Sri Vichwanath Chakravarti comments herein that we may see many persons who, even after hearing the topics of Krishna, repeatedly give up their spiritual dedication. Kacharya replies that the words Vishesha Gya is therefore significant here. Those who actually understood the essence of life do not give up Krishna consciousness. A further qualification is to be disgusted with material sense gratification. These two qualities are complementary. One has experienced the real taste of Krishna consciousness, automatically becomes disgusted with the inferior taste and material pleasures. Such a genuine hearer of the topics of Krishna cannot give up hearing about the Lord. Fascinating pastimes. So we're, Radha Govinda Maharaj is a very expert speaker for those who understand Hindi. He's talking about the advent of Lord Krishna. This is Janmashtami. So, there are two verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Ajopi son Adhyatma Bhutadnam Ishwaropi san Prakriti Swam Adhistaya Samabhani Amamaya. Although I'm unborn and my transitional body never deteriorates, and although I'm the Lord of all sentient beings, I still appear in every millennium in my original transitional form. And then the most important verse of the Bhagavad Gita, some say, Janma Karma Chanadiryama Evam Yodeti Tafataha Jagva Deham Punar Janma Naiti Mameti Suarjuna. One who understands, knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities, does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, attain my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So, hearing about the pastimes of Krishna is part of the devotee of life. And now there's the Vrindavan Leela, there's the Mathura Leela, the Dwarka Leela. These are all very nectar to hear, very pleasing to hear for the devotee. Prabhupada says that the devotee does not reject one drop of it. It's all nectar for him. Some people may say, well, we only hear about Dwarka Leela or Mathura Leela. We only want to hear about Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, pastimes of Rasa Leela with the gopis. But the other leelas are also there, and they're also for us to hear, for our satisfaction, for our purification. Because we cannot, until you're free from the anarthas in the heart, until you're pure, you can't enter into the Raganuga Bhakti, you can't enter into understanding of Krishna's Rasa Leela pastimes. In Sukadeva Goswami, he only briefly described the Rasa Leela in the 10th canto in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there's much more to hear, but we're not ready to hear it for the most part. Some may be, but most of us were not ready to hear these esoteric pastimes. Even Bhakta Siddhanta came to Radhakund, they asked him to speak on Krishna Leela. He spoke on the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, I could speak these past tongues, but you're not ready to hear. So even then, at that time, the devotees were not advanced enough to hear these things. So, but Srila Prabhupada came to America in 1966. He didn't know how long he would be on the planet, so he gave the essence. He translated and gave us the Krishna book to give us the essence of the 10th canto, Srila Bhagavatam, the 10th canto. The Srila Bhagavatam starts from the first canto, goes up 12 cantos, 18,000 slokas. And the first canto is considered lotus feet of the Lord, and the 10th canto is considered the smiling face of the Lord. And Bhumangal Thakur says in Krishna Karamita that all the beautiful things of Krishna, the most beautiful thing of Krishna is his smile, his soft, gentle smile. So when you look at the deities of Gaudita, Krishna Bhava, Narasimha Sundar, Lalita Vishakha, we can see they all have very soft and gentle smiles. At least hopefully we can see that. If we have some devotion, those who have no devotion may not be able to see, but those who have some devotion, some bhakti, they can see this. And this is why this temple is so popular. People are coming to see the deities, coming to see Krishna, and getting some purification. So we should always keep ourselves pure in Krishna consciousness by chanting 16 rounds, following the four regular principles, and hearing. Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu, Smaranam, this hearing is the most essential. We have to keep hearing by absorbing ourselves in Krishna's pastimes and Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and this way we will not want to leave Krishna consciousness. When you get a higher taste, you're not interested in the lower taste. Brahma says, the material world is going on because people are chewing and chewed. They try to get a taste for something, like you chew sugar cane, then you spit it out, then you chew it again, the same thing, but there's no taste there. So in the material world, there's no taste, it's dry and stale. Prabhupada said in the Krishna book, the people in the material world are morose. Morose means they are gloomy or unhappy. Even though they put on the front, they put on a show like they're happy, and they think they're happy, but not really. And he says, even the transcendentalists, even the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, the yogis, gyanis, they're also morose. But only the devotees are not morose. Only the devotees are happy. Dina Bhado gives class, he says, one man asks them, why are the devotees smiling? Every time I see devotees, why are they smiling? The answer is because the devotees are not morose, like the materialists. The materialistic people, they're always lamenting, they're always hankering, they're always fearful. Especially lamenting. When people get all the lament, they're always lamenting about their lives, their past life, that why I didn't do this, why I didn't do that. But it's different for devotees. We're not lamenting. We're very grateful to our founder Acharya, H.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, for giving us the life of Krishna consciousness, the life of happiness, a life of joy, instead of being morose, and instead of feeling being in the mode of ignorance. Prabhupada said, if you're not happy in Krishna consciousness, it means you're in ignorance. But you don't have to stay in ignorance. If you're feeling morose, if you're feeling down, the Krishna consciousness may happen sometime. You can always take part in the kirtan. You can always engage in service. In this way, it will go away. Its problems will go away. We have to tolerate it. Krishna said we have to tolerate these things without being disturbed. So there may be problems, there may be disturbances, but still, you should take shelter in the holy name. In this temple, we have wonderful kirtans all day long. Mangal Arati, Guru Puja, Rajbhog Arati, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8:30, kirtan going on continuously. People from all walks of life, all over the world are coming chanting and dancing. People who've never experienced Krishna consciousness, never know anything about Krishna consciousness, are coming here to Kirtan, dancing and chanting. This is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the mercy of the holy name, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that this Krishna consciousness movement is being made available to people all over the world. Every town and village is predicted by Lord Chaitanya. His name will be chanted in every town and village. So in Vrindavan is the chancellor of Lord Krishna, the holiest place in this universe. So therefore, we're all very fortunate to be able to live in Vrindavan and perform devotional service here and try to make our life successful, go back home, back to Godhead, even in this life. So, time is finished. Now I have to go for some service. Hare Krishna.
Question?
Shri Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhagavatam ki.